Matthew chapter 16 for just a little while tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. We'll begin reading at verse 13 tonight, if God will be our help. And the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. And he says, and then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Before I get started tonight, I want to preach tonight. I've got to be our help on the revealing of the church. But I want to say before I get into that, I love each and every one of you. I got to thinking about Dave. I don't know what I'd do without my church family. Amen. This is the most important people in my life. Amen. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank God for each and every one of you. Every one of you have a special place in my heart. Amen. And I love you tonight. I just want you to know that. Amen. From the bottom of my heart, I love you tonight. And as we look at this, we see Jesus. And now I want to get the setting for this. And we've touched on this scripture a time or two. But like I said before, you could never preach out the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. You could preach the same verse over and over, day in, day out, by the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God, and never get it all said. Amen. That's a marvelous thing about God. God is a great, big, magnificent God. And you can never tell all these. Glory to God. Now all he is to tell about him. Amen. He is marvelous tonight and he is magnificent. He spans the expanse of time and eternity. That's my God tonight. I love him tonight because he first loved me. Amen. Hey, glory to God tonight. If you don't love him, if you don't know him, boy, tonight would be a good time to get in. But if I couldn't worship God in the spirit tonight, I pray, praise God, I'd jump out of my seat right now and fall an old-fashioned altar, and I'd stay there until God got a hold of me and I got a hold of God. And I made things right where I could worship a holy God. Amen. Praise the Lord, I would. I wouldn't wait. But I want to set this in perspective tonight. And now Jesus takes these disciples and he goes up to Caesarea Philippi. And now Caesarea Philippi is up at the northernest part, right at the foot of Mount Hermon. Now the foot of Mount Hermon, if I remember my Bible college right, when I was studying this out, Mount Hermon is an elevation of about 1,147 feet. It's above sea level. It's a pretty high place. And as I can see my Lord and the Savior, he goes there, and he goes there right to a special place. It's a place that's right on the outskirts of the Jewish reign and on the beginning of the Gentile world. Amen. He goes right to the very age of this, and that's where he begins to talk to his disciples. Amen. And as he begins to talk to them there, best I can figure by comparing the Gospels, he was there for several days, maybe close to a week. And the Bible says in the book of Luke that the first thing he done, if you look at Luke's account of this in Luke 9 and 18, he said it when before he ever began to talk to them about this and begin to show them what he had in store for them, and before he began to test them to see if they was ready to receive what he had for them, the Bible says that the Lord was found praying. Amen. Amen. Every time before he done something, he got a hold of the Father. And he said, Father, your will be done. Amen. He got a hold of God the Father, and he said, hey, listen, I'm fixing to embark on a new avenue, and Lord, I want you to help me. So we see this situation at the very edge of Caesarea Philippi, and we see what's taking place there. And we see the Son of Man as he comes there, and he begins to talk to his disciples. The very edge of Judaism and a Gentile world. Amen. And now he begins, after he prays, he begins to give them a test. He begins to perform a little test here to see if they was ready to receive and ready to acknowledge the things of God. Sometimes I wonder in my Christian life if I could just look at it and see if it wouldn't say in some of the things that God's doing in my life, this is only a test. Do you ever feel like sometimes there's just little tests that come up in your life? It's just like a great big God of glory. He's just putting them out there and he's saying, this is only a test. And amen. For the next 60 days, or the next 30, or the next 30 minutes. Amen. This is only a test. And amen, he just looks at us down with those loving eyes, Lord, that caring heart, and he looks to see how we'll perform those tests. Amen. Say that we'll perform it to his satisfaction for his glory. Amen. I'm afraid a lot of times we come short. But praise God, you know what? He still loves us anyway. But he comes down there and he asked the disciples this question. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now this is the test. He wanted to know who the world said. And he said, well, let's see. The world says, verse 14, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Oh, King Herod said that. Said he's run rose from the dead. They say these miracles being take place. I pray he's got to be old John the Baptist. Even in death. Hey, I knew I shouldn't have took his head. He's come back to haunt me. Old John Baptist is a home. Amen. Praise God, doing things all over Jerusalem. And nobody can explain. Amen. And then some said he's Elias. The reason they said that was because the last thing they remembered 400 years before that, old Malachi said, hey, listen, said before Elias come. Amen. So he's going to come. He's a messenger. He's going to pave the way. Yeah. Amen. So they said, well, some say he's old Elias. And he said, others say it's Jeremiah. He says, old weeping prophet. We've seen him over there as he wept over Jerusalem. Amen. Maybe he's old Jeremiah. He said, or maybe just one of the other prophets. We can't say for sure who he is. But then the Lord, he said, you know what they was in essence saying? They said, listen, the world says that he's some great, great man. Amen. Then I want to say today, the world's still saying that Jesus is some great man. Amen. Even Mohammed, the people that follow Mohammed, they'll tell you Jesus was a great man. They will. He was a great man, but he wasn't the God man. Amen. Jehovah's Witness will tell you that Jesus was a great man, a great prophet, but he wasn't the Son of God, and he wasn't God the Son. Amen. But I want to say he was all of those things. But the world was saying, well, he's some great man, some great one. But Jesus said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Yeah. Now here's the test. He said, well, we know what the world says, and we know who the world says Jesus is, but he looked in between Beak and Bill, but he said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Amen. This is now you talk about a test. Yeah. You talk about test. But look up Peter. Oh, Peter rises to the test. And he's got the correct answer. He said, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, oh, I can see old Peter. You know, he jumps out. I know the answer to that one. Amen. You are the Christ. Hey, you're the Son of the living God. Amen. But I got to studying on this. I got to thinking about this. And he had the right answer. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now there's something unique about this. Because I got to thinking about, got looking back through the Gospels. Now when Jesus was walking to Galilee, and he was walking by, and there was a certain fellow by the name of Nathanael. And he told Nathanael, he said, I see you over yonder underneath the fig tree. and owe nothing. And what did he say? He said, hey, you must be the Son of God. But Jesus didn't acknowledge him. Amen. And then there was another day when old Peter was a fishing in the boat. Amen. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, said, just push out a little bit. Let me borrow your boat. Let me preach out of your boat just a minute. Peter says, well, all right. So he got in the boat, pushed out a little from the land, and he preached to the people. And he said, Peter, he said, just push out for a draw. Peter said, Lord, we've fished all night, but if you say so. So they pushed out and they dropped down their net and the boat began to sink. Amen. He got them boats, them fish, they loaded the boat and the boat began to sink. His fellows had to come over and help him. Old James and John, and they began to load by fish into their boat till it began to sink too. And then old Peter, all of a sudden he come to himself. He said, I'm an unclean man. He said, Lord, depart from me, O Lord. But Jesus didn't say nothing. He never said a word. Amen. And then there was one time they was standing down there by the Sea of Galilee. And there was a multitude that followed Jesus for several days. And the Bible said they were hungry. They'd been fasting and following Jesus for several days. And the disciples said, Lord, we need to send them away to find food. He said, no, said you feed them. He said, and there's 5,000. That's besides women and children. Yeah. Amen. And they said, well, what do you got? He said, just a few loaves and a few fishes. He said, well, just feed, go ahead and feed them. And the Bible said he blessed and broke the bread and the fishes and fed. He said he fed them, fed them all. And praise God, the disciples looked around and they said, hey, thou art the Son. You've got to be the Son of God. Amen. But all these instances before this was those that had admitted that he was someone because of the miracles that they seen. It was not because of anything in their heart. It was not that there was no spiritual revealing of this. But here Peter says, they're away from things. They're not in any situation. But he comes to a conscience conclusion on his own. Amen. His mind hooked up with who Jesus was. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to his heart. And he said, Peter, you're in the presence of royalty. Amen. Lord be God. He said, you're in the presence of royalty today. And Peter says, glory to God. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus says, Peter, he said, blessed art thou, Peter. Simon Barjona, he said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, hey, it ain't because of the bread and the fishes. Hey, man, it ain't because the boat is sinking. He said, it's because the Holy Ghost of God has spoke to your heart and he showed you that I am the Son of God. Praise God, he showed you. You know what's wrong with most churches today? They're cold and dead because they've seen the miracles. They've ate the fishes. They've had the exuberant emotional feeling down in their stomach. Emotions has overcome them and they've made a profession. But they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. They don't realize that He is the Messiah, God of glory. Amen. They don't realize it because it's never been revealed to them from God the Father. Amen. If it's ever revealed to us from heaven, amen, praise God, it's something different takes place in your heart. Looks like it did old Peter here. Something happened down in Peter. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Is that who He is to you today? Is He the Christ? The Son of the living God. Praise God, the one who came to die for your sins. Amen. To rise again on third appointed day for your sins. That's who He is to me. Amen. The Savior of my soul. Praise His holy name. Amen. And then Jesus goes on to say, and I'm going to try to hurry. I won't be too long. He said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And he says, you're just a little rock. Amen. Petra, just a little rock. He said, you're a little rock. He said, but listen to this. He said, blessed art thou. He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Amen. He said, listen, said, you're just a small stone. He said, but there's a rock. Amen. That we're going to build upon. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you look at verses 4 and 31, I believe it is, or 21, when Moses is explaining to the children, getting ready to go into the land, he said, now as we go into the land, he said, you got to trust in the rock. Now, the rock is always a reference. It's not a reference to something that you throw at, or even what old David slung, but it's a reference to the God of glory. It's always a reference to deity. Amen. He is the rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see here that the Lord says, hey, Peter said, you're a little bitty rock. You're a stone. He said, but I'm going to build on the rock. And he says, the rock, he said, I am that rock. He said, I myself am that rock. Amen. He is that rock that we build upon. He said, upon this rock. Upon this rock. And then I like what he says next. I will build. Now this is future tense. He said, I have not, I have built. He said, I will build. He said, I'm going to build something on this rock. That's why Peter over in 1 Peter chapter 1, he would say, he said, glory be to God. He said, he's a chief cornerstone. Amen. Praise God. He said, when you begin to build, why? Because old Peter said, I'm just a little foundation stone. He said, glory be to God. He said, I got started out on the foundation. I was the first on the foundation. Praise God. He said, Peter, I'm going to let you be a foundation stone. Amen. That's laid on top the foundation. Glory to God. Peter never did ask for anything greater. These people, these crazy things that says, well, Peter was the first pope. Peter never proclaimed himself to be the first pope. Amen. When it comes to things, the church of Jerusalem, you know who was doing the business? It was old James. Amen. James was presiding over the church in Jerusalem. Amen. Well, Catholics don't like it when you tell them that. But old James was the first. If he was such thing as the first pope, James would have been the first pope. But I'm telling you what, he was the first pastor of Jerusalem Independent Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. That's who he was. Glory be to God. He established the first and the best, and praise God. And praise, we're just a spin off of that, and that started so many years ago. And praise God, it just gets better closer home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build. Amen. That future reference. He said, I will build. What's he going to build? My church. Amen. Who does the church belong to? It belongs to Christ. The church of the living God, it belongs to Christ Jesus. You say, well, how does he own it? Because he paid for it. Amen. He paid for the church. He paid for it with his blood. He gave the best he had. He gave all that he had. Amen. He bought the church. It's paid in, by the way, it's paid in full. Ain't nothing owed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nobody can repossess it. Don't need to be refinanced. Amen. It's paid in full by the precious Lamb of God as he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Praise his holy name. He said, I will build my church. And now listen to what he said. I like this part. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this is the first time that the church is mentioned in the New Testament. Amen? And he said, I'm going to build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, the gates of... What are the gates of hell? That's those very gates of physical death itself. Amen? That's the gates of hell. That's a place called hell. That's the gates of hell. The very essence of physical death itself. We come to that gate when we deny and reject God. But he said the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. Now we can also see those gates if we look back in the times that we're talking about, these oriental times, we can see the gate is where the rulers of that time would meet to discuss their business. So we can see it as the place that the devil and the demons of hell would gather to do their business. Amen. Amen. At the very gate of hell. Can you see that in your mind's eye? And if you put those together, you see the gate of hell where the demons of hell and the Satan and the devil gather to do their business, and the place of the entering in into physical death. It's a pretty scary scene. But he said the gates of hell He said, physical death and the demons of hell, Satan himself, shall not prevail against the church. Amen. He said, you'll not prevail. They'll not overcome. They'll not win against the church. Why? Because Jesus is the church. Amen. Listen, let me show you something. In Revelation chapter 1, see if I can find it right quickly. Let me just show you something, what Jesus himself said. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Jesus said this. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. But he didn't stop there. He says, amen. And he said, and have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. The devil don't even have the keys to his own place. Who's got them? Jesus has them. Amen. Then he said, hey, these people, he's a fellow, didn't argue with me. He said, no, said, the devil's got the keys of hell. I said, no, I beg to differ. The Bible says, Revelation chapter 1, that Jesus has the keys of that place called hell. Amen. He got them. He took them away from him. When he come out of there over 2,000 years ago, and he went into the heart of the earth, and he went over and he said, listen, you demons of hell, you're not going to get no more that trust in me. I've come, I've fulfilled exactly what I was meant to fulfill. Devil, you tried to stop me so many times. You tried to prevail over me. But praise be to God, I'm alive. I'm going to be alive forevermore. And he took the keys, praise God, for the devil's lair, and he ain't got them no more. He don't have the keys of hell, and he don't, glory be to God, he don't have the keys of death. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Who's got them? Jesus does. Guess whose side we need to be on? Jesus' side. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, he's the one that can unlock that gate and cause you to pass into that awful place called hell. Yeah, but you say, well, preacher, he wouldn't send nobody to hell. He don't. Amen. You send yourself when you deny and reject him. You say, Lord, I don't need you. I'm having me a time of my life, Lord. I don't need you. And and you just choose to go off in hell. Him begging you, pleading with you, Holy Ghost of God are dealing with you. Amen. And you just slip off into hell, lost without God. There's no sense in it. Don't make no sense, no purpose in it. Because the price has already been paid. Paid in full. It's nothing owing. Amen. So when did the church begin? It began with Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church. And I want to say today, he's still a building his church. He's a building. Listen, he's a glory to God. He's a mining out stones every day. Amen. He's a mining them out, and he's a taking those stones and he's a shaping them, and he's a polishing them. He's a fashioning them. Praise God, in the likeness of himself. Amen. He's taking those stones and he's making them. Peter says he's making them lively stones or living stones. Amen. He's putting them on a foundation, placing them, glory be to God, Brother Bill. He's placing them shoulder to shoulder on the foundation of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. In the army of God, he's placing them there himself personally. He's placing them there as the habitation. Peter says it's the habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Praise God, that's who you are tonight. Don't let nobody tell you any different. If you are a part of the church, you are the church of the living God. Hey, praise God, you're a part of the habitation of God through the Spirit of God. Praise God, so you've done God in. Don't let nobody tell you. Hey, can't nobody take that away from you. Amen. Part of the habitation of God. You say, preacher, I don't know about it. Let me show you. You ain't going to believe me. Let me show you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read that to you. I don't want you to think I'm making it up. 1 Peter, I know you believe me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, you are the spiritual household of God. You are the church of today. Amen. Born again believers, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like old brother Peter, he may have been the first stone, but he ain't the last one. Brother Charles, he's still polishing up some old rocks. Praise God, molding them, making them, putting them on that wall, shoulder to shoulder. Brother Warren, to fight the battle for Jesus. Glory be to God, ain't you glad you get to be a part of that foundation? Praise God, part of that Jesus has laid out for us that we can build upon in these last days. Bless His holy name. The starting, the revealing of the church. And as He says to Peter, verse 19, He goes on and He says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, what's He talking about here? For a long time, this passage bothered me. What was He talking about? He said, and He goes on and He says, "And who, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So He's talking about this binding and this loosening. What's He talking about? Well, first we got to recognize the key. Now, anytime that you go to the Old Testament and you look at the key, when it talks about the key is talking, it's always in reference to the scribes, to the Word of God. Amen? It's always in reference to the Word of God. And He says, Peter, I will give unto thee the key. In other words, what the Lord's saying, He says, Peter, you're going to be my scribe. Amen? He said, you're going to be my scribe. You're going to be responsible for the Word of God. Amen? Glory to God. Ain't that good? He said, Peter, you're going to be responsible. You're going to be my ready scribe. Amen? And He said, you're going to begin to give this to you. I'm going to begin to show you what is. And these keys that I'm going to give you is the keys of the gospel. Amen? That you might share it with the world. And He said, those things that you bind on earth shall be bound. He said, those things that you bound in heaven shall be bound. And the things that you loose on earth is going to be loose. And the things you loose in heaven is going to be loosed. You say, well, what does that all mean? Let me give you an example. Try to remember where it's at. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, I believe it is. Acts chapter 15, if I can find it right quickly. Acts chapter 15, verse 19. You remember when Paul was going to Galatians or to the Gentiles? And he begins to teach them and begins to tell them that the Gentile is not under the law. And by the way, we never have been. Amen. We've never been under the law. Amen. People say, well, you got to keep the Sabbath. The Jew did. We never did. Man, we were never under the law. Amen. We worship, by the way, on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hey, if somebody said, well, you got to keep the Sabbath. You say, well, are you a Jew? No. Well, then you were never, it never applied to you. Amen. It was given down to the Jew. You say, how do you know? Because none of the Gentiles around them ever kept the law. Amen. They didn't worship on the Sabbath. They worshiped all their gods. Amen. But He says this in Acts chapter 15, verse 19. He said, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Now listen to what He says, verse 20. He said, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. What was God? What was Peter telling them? He was saying, listen, this is what we got to do. He said, what we've got to do is we've got to keep what God says. But all the traditions of men, we've got to weed them out and we got to stick with what God says. He said, the things, glory be to God, He said, the things that God says are still the things that's right. And those traditions of men that are just traditions of men, He said, we need to just let them go. See, he said, we got to bind them with those things that God says is binding and cut them loose from those things that, praise God, that God don't hold us to. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's what He's talking about, the binding and loosening. He said, this is a something that comes from God. So in other words, what He's talking about is practices, the things that we do in this old walk of life. when he's talking to the church, those practices that we do, those things that we do. And he said, "What?" He said, "Peter, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you a ready scribe." He said, "I'm going to give you the heavenly format, if you will, of the and give you the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God to conduct that heavenly format." Does that make sense? Amen. He said, "So what we need to do is just stay with God. Just stay with God. Stay with what the Word says." He said, "So Peter, I need you to be my ready scribe to fulfill the will of the Father." Amen. So Peter, so then he goes on and he makes this charge. He said, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Amen. Now you... I've read several commentaries on that verse. And I've prayed over that, and I got to thinking about line, comparing scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And a lot of the commentaries that you read say, well, he told them just to keep quiet about it because he didn't want the Romans to come in and overthrow them. He didn't want the Jews to try to take him, to make him a king. Well, if you'll read your Bible, they already tried to do that. And they couldn't do that if they wanted to because they didn't have the power or the authority. Amen? But what Jesus is telling them here, and the best that I can figure out in the Scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept, is Jesus said, "Listen, hey, what you need to do, fellas, is you just need to hold on because you haven't got the testimony yet to preach the gospel. You don't have the living testimony in order to proclaim the gospel like you need to proclaim it." He said, "You let me do the teaching and the instruction." He said, "When you've got a testimony, praise God, then you can proclaim it." Amen. He said, "Just keep quiet." He said, "You don't need to tell anybody what took place here." He said, "But one glorious day in a little while, and not long, you're going to have something to tell. And you're going to want to tell it. And praise God, it'll be something worth telling." Amen. He said, "You're going to have a testimony to tell about a Lord and a Savior that walked among you, that you fellowshiped with, that had the love of God all about him, and that praise God, that he would shine forth and glow in the dark of night." Amen. He said, "You're going to have something that you can proclaim to a lost and a dying world, something that you can tell a Jew and a Roman alike, that you can tell a Gentile, that you can tell a Jewish rabbi, something that'll be a truth, something that'll be profound." Amen. He said, "One of these days," he said, "you're going to be part of the church." And he said, "You're going to be able to tell people about it. You're going to be able to proclaim the gospel." He said, "Don't worry about trying to tell it now." He said, "Praise God, there'll be time enough for telling it." Praise the Lord. He said, "Just pay attention. Let me just show you who I am. Let me just give you a testimony. Hey, let me just show you exactly what's going to come to pass. Let me just show you what I'm preparing for myself and what I'm building unto me. A glorious kingdom, a people, a people that's wholly dedicated unto me. A people that's bought with a price. A people that's been purchased from the very gates of hell and the demons of hell themselves. He has no more authority over. A Savior that can redeem lost men. A Redeemer that has been to the grave and he's been to Calvary and he got up victorious." He said, "Praise God," said, "someday in a little while," said, "you'll have something to tell." He said, "You'll have a testimony." He said, "In a little while." Amen. "In a little while," said, "you'll have a testimony." Hey, listen, I believe we ought to have a testimony. Amen. If you know a living Savior, I want to say we've got the same testimony that old Peter had. We've got the same testimony that old James had. Amen. We've got the same testimony that all the other brethren had. Amen. We got a testimony of a Lord and Savior, a risen Savior, alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. We've got a testimony. Hey, the revealing of the church. He said, "Hey, listen." He said, "I'm going to reveal to you something. I'm going to reveal to you my church." He said, "I'm going to be that solid stone that you build upon." And he said, "And the gates of hell won't prevail against it." He said, "Gates of hell and the demons of hell won't win, not against my church. My church will come out victorious." Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? We're winners, youngins. We're winners. You say, well, preacher, sometimes I don't feel like a winner. That's just the old devil and the flesh trying to get you defeated. Amen. When you feel like that, you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, whoopee, praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Amen. Just say, whoopee, praise the Lord. And see if you don't start feeling better. Amen. Why? Because the victory's already been won. You're on the winning side, people. We are on the church of the living God. We are on the winning side. We've won. We have victory. You mean, preacher, we will have? No, we have victory now, today, in Christ Jesus. We are overcomers through Him who already has overcame. Praise the Lord. We're winners. Either way, whether we go or whether we stay, whether we live, whether we die. Amen. Praise God, we'll die here. Die out these old bodies, praise God, and be raised in the likeness of our Savior. One glorious day over yonder. Amen. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Glory be to God. I'm like old Brother Paul. I'm in the straight betweens two. Amen. I like sometimes just to let go. I know you do. Just let go. Say, Lord, just like old John on Isle of Patmos, Lord, go, even so, Lord, come quickly. Yeah. Amen. But then I'll look back and say, well, Lord, it's more needful that I be here. Amen. If you want me to be here, Lord, if you want me to keep on plowing that old gospel plow, Lord, you just leave me here, take care of me, give me breath in my lungs, and Lord, just help me to just keep on plowing on for you. Amen. Because I'm a winner either way. Glory be to God. Hey, listen, we might as well just enjoy what we got here while we're here. Just go ahead and get in like we've been doing. Just praise the Lord, magnify the God of glory, and say, Lord, thank you for every opportunity. Thank you for the house of God. Thank you for the children of God. And thank you for a risen Savior. Amen. Lord, we're preparing for something better. Practice up our shouting. Practice up our praying. Praise God. Glory to God. Getting a hold of God. Recognizing Him for who He is. Studying in His Word. Letting it be real to our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Looking for that glorious day of His appearing. In just a little while, Brother Bill, He's going to step out on the clouds of glory. Going to shout in a trumpet. He's going to say, come up hither. Glory be to God and all those of us that's born again. A second, but been born twice. Amen. I was born twice. Curtis, I was born in 1963 over here in Asheville Hospital Mission. St. Joe's one of them. Amen. I was born over there in one of them or the basement or the garage or summers. I was born in that little old boy. Old doctor got me, smacked me on my hind end. I drew my first breath. Went, wah! I was born in 8K. He said, this is Jeffrey Douglas Massey. I was born. But you know what happened on March 1976? The Lord Jesus Christ come by my way. I was a little old boy about your age, lost, undone, without God, wasn't looking for nothing but a good time. Went to church with my buddies on a Wednesday night. I prayed God for a revival meeting so I could be with my buddies. And praise God, on Tuesday night, God began to deal with my heart. On Wednesday night, I went back. I couldn't keep out. And glory to God, on that Wednesday night, the Holy Ghost to God come by. Oh, man of God said, you don't have to die and go to hell. He said, tonight, boy, that rung in my ears. I can still hear that little old man of God, a little old preacher. And he said, tears are running down his face. He said, youngins, tonight, God will save you. You don't have to go to hell. You can get born again tonight. Praise God. Praise God. I said, Lord, is it so? I'm an old rotten, tow-headed boy, meaner than a junkyard dog. Lord, I know I'm on my way to hell. My granddaddy done showed me that. Hell is an awful place. You could see praise God, He hung me out over it. You could feel the heat on my feet. But praise God, that glorious night. I remember, Brother Jeff, you know what was happening? The church was beckoning me. Jesus said, I will build. He said, I'm going to get me another tonight. He said, I'm going to get me a foundation stone. Something to build on the foundation, praise God. And he called a little toe-head boy. I don't remember getting up, but I remember falling and sliding in there on my face, old fashioned altar, and said, God, I'm just an old wicked sinner. I don't know why you'd love me, but God, I know you died for me. And Lord, I believe with all my heart you did. And God, if you will you please save me from that awful place called hell? Save me, Lord, help me, God. And Lord, just come in my heart, be mine. And Lord, I'll try to be yours. You know what he did? Boy, he took me just as I was. Glory be to God, and I ain't never been the same since. Why? Because he was building a church. He was building a church. He said, I'm going to pick out one to be part of my church. He said, I'm going to pick out one to be a part of my church, and that one to be a part of my church, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And he said, I'm just going to take whosoever will. He said, I'm just going to take whosoever will. He said, will you be a part of my church? Boy, that glorious night, I raised my hand. I said, oh, I will. I will. Amen. Glory to God. I remember I come out of there. Boy, tears are running down my face. I said, thank you, Jesus. Boy, I felt like a whole world lifted off of me. Amen. I couldn't wait to get home and call my neighbor, Miss Myrtle. She's my Sunday school teacher. Boy, she had told me all about Jesus and how much he loved me. But you know what? Glory be God, I get thinking on that. And you know what? You know what Miss Myrtle done to me? She took a little old boy that's me, just rotten as could be. And pray God, she brought me in and she loved me. She fed me cookies. She told me how much God loved me. And boy, you know what she done? She didn't only tell me how much he loved me. She showed me that love. She showed me that love. And she was wooing me into the church of God. She said, I want you to be able to go home with me. Glory be to God. You know what? One of these days, a little while, Brother Dean, I'll see it, Miss Myrtle. Glory be to God. I guarantee you, she's shouting around the throne. Glory to God. I tell you, I've never seen a more godly lady. She was part of God's church. People from all around would call her and say, Miss Myrtle, oh, such and such is sick. Would you pray? And she'd say, I will. And she'd say, we'd be visiting with watching TV or something. She'd say, excuse me. And she didn't wait around till the next day or late that night before she went to bed. She'd go in there in that bedroom, cut the door, get down beside her bed, and you'd hear Miss Myrtle in there crying out to God. She was talking to somebody. I mean, she had a direct line to God.
Amen.
Glory be. Why? Because she was part of the church. Glory be to God. Boy, I want to be a Miss Myrtle. Amen. I want to be like Miss Myrtle. I want to be able to get a hold of God. I want to have a connection. I want to be a part of the church of the living God. How about you? Amen. Are you a member of the church? God said, He said, I will build my church. He said, it's mine. He said, I'm going to build it. He said, I'm going to build it the way I want to build it. Amen. You know what's wrong with the world we live in? I want to be a part of the church, but I want to be a part of church on my terms, on my time. I want to say, young and tonight, God don't work that way. Amen. God don't work that way. At Wednesday night, 1976, God says, tonight's tonight. I honestly believe if I hadn't come and got saved that night, I believe God turned his hand against me. I believe he'd let me go to hell. But boy, I tell you what, he come by one more time.
Yeah.
And he said, son, I love you and I don't want you to go. Let that little old man of God point me to God, to God's way. Praise the God with love in his heart, compassion for little old sinner boys. And he said, hey, you don't have to go to hell. Jesus loves you. He said, I love you. But he said, but Jesus loves you. Amen. He's building a church because he loves us. He's building a church tonight because he loves you. And he wants you to be a part of his church. Amen. He wants you to be a part of his church.